This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, in spite of the recent sunny weather, some leaves are beginning to colour upon the trees for autumn, and summer migrants like swallows and swifts have set off south. But whilst autumn feels like a bit of an ending, the rounding off of the year, it's also time for some beginnings. In fact, now is a great time for sowing wildflower seed in a mini meadow in your garden, on your allotment, or in your community garden. On the face of it, it sounds easy, but very quickly it starts to feel a bit more complicated. Does a mini meadow only work in that only sunny spot I've got in my garden? Which seed is the best? There's a huge choice. What should I do with the seed? How do I sow it? What do I do with it once it started to grow? And if I've only got a tiny space, is it going to be worth it anyway? Well, who better to ask than Matt Pitts, Plant Life's Meadow Advisor. Plant Life is an international charity working to secure a world rich in wild plants and fungi. And you might have heard of their No Mow May. Now, I spoke to Matt and I started by asking him why flower-rich meadows are so important.
They're a haven for wildlife, particularly for wildflowers, and also all the other things that are supported by wildflowers, such as birds and lots of other insects as well. And ironically, we've lost a huge quantity of these in the last probably sort of 70 or 80 years.
Okay, then. Now, the charity Plant Life, you look after some amazing species-rich, often really quite ancient meadows. And sadly, I think most of us realise that we're not going to be able to create anything that's quite like that in our gardens. But I just wondered whether you felt that there was value in us as trying to at least create some kind of flowery meadow in our gardens and whether there was a sort of a minimum size for that.
Yes, definitely. So, I mean, probably the minimum size, even a couple of square metres is beneficial. But if you've got the edge of a garden, if you've got an area along the side of a hedgerow, maybe a metre or a few metres in width, and then maybe you could run it sort of 3 or 4 metres. I mean, so really anything from a metre or bigger really is beneficial for wildlife. And for wildlife.
Okay, well, that's good to know because a lot of us don't have very big gardens, do we? And how about choosing that plot for our mini meadow? Does it have to be in full sunshine?
Ideally, yes, because most of our wildflowers, if you imagine them in a big field, they tend to be in areas where there's not shade and they're in full sun. So they will definitely do better if they're in an area of full sun, if possible.
Okay, but if we don't have that full sun spot, because again, sometimes in urban gardens with all our fences and hedges and trees, it can be a bit of a premium. Is there any point in going ahead if you've got something that's only getting a few hours sun a day?
As long as it's getting some sun during the day, yes, absolutely. I mean, if it's in complete shade and it's just completely shaded all the time by big trees, it's probably not the ideal location. But as long as it gets some sun during the day, it should be okay.
So how about the soil? Because I've heard that a good wildflower meadow should be on poor soil, so soil that hasn't had things like compost or fertiliser added. But quite often our gardens have had this kind of thing added, haven't they? So can you just tell us why that's a problem and how we can overcome this?
So, yeah, I mean, most people, when they're trying to establish wildflowers, they tend to try and find soil that's quite poor and quite low in fertility. And it's kind of counterintuitive, really, because in a garden context, we're always trying to improve the soil to get our plants to grow. And the problem with very fertile soil is that grass is the challenge, and grass grows very, very quickly, and it tends to grow much, much quicker than most of our wildflowers. So if we try and sow wildflowers in a fertile area, the grass will generally outcompete the wildflowers. So that's why we're trying to look for areas that are not so fertile. But most people's lawns, and this is probably the best place to start trying to encourage wildflowers, is maybe just kind of leave an area of your lawn uncut. And you'll find that actually quite a lot of wildflowers, typically, particularly in older properties, will already be in your lawns, and it's just they're being cut so they don't necessarily get noticed. So lawns generally, unless they're fertilised, tend to be more infertile. They tend to be less fertile than our sort of flower borders that we tend to mulch and put fertiliser on.
Indeed. And I've heard that yellow rattle can help with reducing soil fertility.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yellow rattle is definitely worth considering, particularly if you're trying to encourage wildflowers in an existing area of grassland. So if you've left a corner of your lawn, for example, and it's still quite grass dominated, we would definitely encourage people to try and sow yellow rattle in it. Yellow rattle is one of these plants. It's called a hemiparasite. So it actually suppresses grass because what it does, it steals some of the nutrients. So it taps into the roots of the grass and it steals some of the nutrients that the grass is taking out of the ground. And of course, what that means is the grass is slightly less dominant where yellow rattle is persisting. So you can see the grass just over time gets less and less dominant. So maybe over sort of 4 to 5 years, you'll start to see the grass looking slightly shorter where yellow rattle patches are. So that allows more space for other wildflowers over time.
Okay. So you've said that an existing lawn area can be a good area to think about establishing a mini meadow. So do I have to do something to prepare the area if I want to introduce some seeds into there? How's the best way to do it? And how about if I was sowing yellow rattle as well? How would I do that?
So there's a number of different ways, and it really depends on the size of the area that you're considering sowing. So, I mean, if you're doing quite a small area and it's only sort of 2 or 3 metres or something, you can just kind of use hand tools. But what we really need to do is try and create some bare ground. So the first thing you would do is cut the grass really, really short, and you'd just use a mower and you'd remove all of the clippings as much as you possibly can and almost set the mower on the absolute lowest setting. And often what that will do is it will kind of scalp the grass a little bit. And that will start to create a little bit of bare ground. It's quite hard work because trying to push the mower along, sometimes it kind of knocks on the lumps and bumps, but that's a good starting point. So it will do that. You could also use a strimmer as well. So if you can strim with a corded strimmer, and you can sort of strim into the grass and keep strimming and strimming and strimming until you start to see a bit of soil appearing, and then rake it all off with a sort of spring rake or something like that. So we're just trying to get a little bit of bare soil there. And ideally, we're trying to get around 50%. That's one way of doing it. And those are probably the most effective ways of doing it in a small space in a garden.
Now, how about choosing seed? Because I had a look and there is a bewildering array of options. There's pollinator-friendly seed mixers, there's wildflower seed mixers, there's mixers for all sorts of different types of soil, and then you can buy all the individual different types of flowers all by themselves. Can you give us a few tips, things to beware of, and some tips to make some good choices there?
Sure. I mean, we would generally encourage people to plant native wildflowers. There are often, in some of our mixes, there are technically plants that aren't native, or sometimes they put garden plants into what they call meadow mixes. So we would definitely try and avoid mixes that have things like cosmos and other non-native wildflowers in them. You can also look for soil type specific. So if you do know your soil type, so maybe you're on a sort of a neutral soil, there will often be wildflower mixes that are suitable for neutral soils, or maybe you're on a more calcareous soil like a chalk or a limestone. There are often mixes that are specific for those different soil types. But yeah, the most important thing, I suppose, is to try and go for a reputable supplier that is supplying native wildflowers.
Okay. And how about the balance between annual flowers, so things that are just going to come up this year, and perennial flowers that are perhaps going to take a bit longer to establish but might be there for a bit longer?
The large majority of our native wildflowers are perennials. There are a number of annuals, though. So yellow rattle, for example, is an annual, and that comes back year on year. And there are other things like eyebright as well, which is also an annual. And there are a number of other annuals as well. But the majority of our native wildflowers are perennial, so they will kind of persist over a longer period of time. So we would encourage you to mostly go for a mix which has got perennials in it, and probably things like eyebright or yellow rattle would be the annuals that we would encourage people to sow.
Okay, so things like poppies wouldn't originally have been part of our wildflower meadows then, or cornflowers, another one that's an annual, isn't it?
No, so many of the mixes that you can buy online do have poppies and cornflowers and corn marigolds as well. So those are all annuals. Those are mostly plants of disturbance. And those plants, typically in a more kind of countryside setting, would generally be around the edges of arable fields where there's regular annual disturbance from ploughing or cultivation, because they need that disturbance to regrow every single year. So, of course, they will grow for the first year or two in a new meadow, because it's obviously had that disturbance to sow it, and they will come up the first year. But gradually, as those perennial plants start to take up the space and the bare ground starts to disappear, those annuals will also disappear. So people tend to get rather disappointed because they buy this meadow mix and it's got all these blues and reds in it. And of course, after about 3 or 4 years, they've generally disappeared. So I guess you just have to buy knowing that's going to happen. I mean, we would encourage people not to buy mixes with those annuals in them and just accept that, you know, the perennials will take over. But if you want to buy those, just accept that they will not survive for more than sort of 3 or 4 years in a meadow.
Well, as long as we know that, so that, as you say, we're not disappointed when our poppies don't keep coming up year after year. So I've got my seeds and I've got my lawn area, which I've removed a lot of the grass from. So do I just sprinkle the seed on then? Is there any particular technique, or is this just a bit of a random affair?
So once you've roughed up the ground and you've got it really short, and you can actually see brown soil is what you need to be able to see. I mean, it is really just a question of scattering those seeds on the surface. So you don't need to bury the seeds. It is just a question of scattering them. We also encourage people to just kind of trample it afterwards. So just walk over the top of the area that you've sown. And if it's a bigger area, you could use a garden roller or something like that. Or you could just get the family out in a line and you could all walk up and down and just kind of squash down. Because really what you're trying to do is push those seeds into the surface of that soil, that bare soil, just so they make contact with the surface. And that's all they need, really. And of course, that's what would happen naturally. They would fall on the ground when they fall out of the flower and they just find their way onto the surface.
Is it like establishing a new lawn? Do I have to keep watering it?
You shouldn't need to, no. So if you sow in the autumn, generally we start to get, you know, we start to get rain from sort of September through October. And normally some of these wildflowers will take, you know, 4 or 5 weeks to germinate, depending on the weather. And obviously, if we get a sudden flush of rain, they will typically germinate, but some will germinate a bit later. But no, you shouldn't need to water if you sow in the autumn.
So just looking forward then, so as you say, hopefully the seeds will germinate at some point between now and the springtime. And of course, I wouldn't be cutting my meadow during Plant Life's No Mow May, definitely not. In fact, I was looking for when I should cut my meadow, and Natural England said that I should cut my meadow area after July the 15th, which seemed very specific. Is that a precise date, or and do I need to do anything with it before then? And how do I go about this cutting as well?
So there's not a precise date about cutting wildflowers. And again, it depends a little bit on where you are and the season. So some years the spring is early and therefore summer is earlier. So all the wildflowers kind of march on and they finish flowering early. So and again, it depends a little bit on what wildflowers you've got in your meadow. And if you're trying to sort of encourage other things like birds and other insects as well to use them, you might want to leave cutting a bit later. But I mean, I guess our best advice really is to allow everything to flower and set seed, and then you could cut any time after that. And that typically is from probably late July onwards, really. So the longer you leave your meadow uncut, the more benefit it will be for other things like insects and for birds that will feed on the seeds. But you also have to bear in mind that if you leave the meadow every single year very late, and so don't cut it till say like September, October, what you're doing is encouraging the grass, because the grass keeps on growing. So meadows that are cut late every single year tend to be more grass dominated than ones that are cut slightly earlier. So it's a bit of a trade-off, really. So if you want to try and encourage the insects and you want to try and encourage the birds later, but if you want to try and get as many wildflowers, probably mid-July onwards.
Okay, and do I need to cut it again after that, or I just cut it once and that's it? And how about raking? Can I leave the grass there?
So when you cut, you do need to remove the cuttings, because what we're trying to do in the garden context is mimic how a traditional hay meadow would have been managed. And of course, hay making was the process of cutting and then drying that grass and then removing that grass. And it was that constant annual removal of that grass which ultimately made the soil less fertile. And of course, the grass became less dominant and that encouraged more wildflowers. So we're trying to do the same thing in the garden context. And of course, in a traditional hay meadow, they had livestock. So after the hay was made, the grass would start to green back up through the autumn and into the winter, and they would put livestock on and they would keep nibbling away and keep that grass short over the winter. Now, we don't generally have livestock in gardens. Some people might have the odd sheep or cow. So to mimic that, we often encourage people to possibly take a second late cut, maybe through the autumn or into the early winter, or maybe in very early spring, say the end of February, beginning of March. So the shorter the grass is coming into the spring, the more chance for wildflowers to do well in that season.
Okay, that's a good tip there. So it sounds from what you're saying that on the whole, a wildflower meadow area is quite a low maintenance thing to have in our garden. Would you agree with that? Or is there sort of like hidden work that I haven't spotted here?
I think it is low maintenance. If you think about cutting your lawn every couple of weeks, it's just that you're basically just pushing all of the work to maybe once or twice a year. So people often think, oh, there's going to be a lot of grass to cut. And again, there might be, but it depends on the soil type. It depends on the season. And, you know, some years the grass doesn't grow as much. But, you know, I guess you're saving up the job, you know, to once or twice a year. So, yeah, I would say it's less work.
And just a couple of sentences about why you think that having a mini meadow in our garden is a lovely thing. What do you think it brings to a garden?
What's lovely about meadows is they change through the season so that, you know, they start off with some flowers flowering early and then they change and gradually as different flowers come and go. So you kind of get that seasonality of wildflowers, which is really interesting. And of course, if you then leave your meadow, I used to have a tiny little postage stamp of a garden and it was in a cul-de-sac, completely surrounded by concrete. And every year we would leave it till probably September. And almost always there would be birds coming and feeding on the knapweed. So, and they just found it. It was this tiniest little area of meadow. So, you know, which is wonderful. So we'd always know that the birds would come in and feed on the knapweed at the end of the summer.
It is lovely, isn't it, when you get birds or insects coming and enjoying our gardens with them. It really does add to our enjoyment of gardens, doesn't it? Lovely. Matt, thank you very much indeed for spending the time and giving us all that really helpful advice today. Very much appreciated. I was talking there to Matt Pitts, Plant Life's meadow advisor. So has that persuaded you to get started on a mini meadow area? Or perhaps you've already given over an area to meadow flowers. If so, has it been a good year? Now, I'd love to hear about your plans, your successes, and of course, any failures. Via email, I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix92.6 on Twitter and on Facebook. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.